to say
Thanks.
Through you.
Thanks. The last time I was here, Debbie did a reading for me, and one of us had forgotten our glasses, and we were swapping glasses, and it got a little bit confusing. And I just whispered to Debbie, I forgot my glasses. And she said, oh, you can use mine. I said, I'm not going down that road again. So I went back to the car to get them. So Debbie's going to read the story of the prodigal son. Thanks.
Before I do that, I've asked Erin if I was allowed to do this during his time, and he said yes. I'd like to thank everybody for praying for Abigail. Even through the darkest times, we felt your prayer. So thank you so much for that. And she's doing very well. So thank you, especially Craig and Kath and Kaz and Simon. Thank you. Right, get myself together. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued. And there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. So this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. And when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes came home, you killed the fattened calf for him. My son, his father said, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found.
So you're giving me your glasses then? Thanks. Should we just pray? Father, we thank you for the word of God, the Bible. We thank you for the stories and the parables that Jesus told. And we pray that we may see a new twist on this today and ask that you will just help us to dig a little bit further and even to see ourselves in a different way. And we pray that we might be encouraged and blessed. Amen. I think we often, we've probably heard the story of the prodigal son many, many times, but we forget that when Jesus told the story, he told it in front of Pharisees, and there is a Pharisee in the story in the person of the elder son. So we're going to be looking at all three characters in a moment, and if we can have the next slide up. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. I did wonder what to speak on this morning, and it's always nice to have some reassurance that you were singing about the open arms of the Father. And the good is the Father. He is a good, good Father. Do you remember the film? All you guys and girls from the 60s and the 70s, birth certificates. You remember the film, Clint Eastwood. I'm sure you can sing the tune as well. But I won't ask you to do that. So the good is the father. The bad is the younger son. But the really ugly person in the story is the elder son. And we're going to be looking at all three. But also, I just want to pop the next one up. And we're going to focus on this one slide only. And I think that's probably the best one. Can you just flip on to the next one just to see? I've put three up just in case. Oh, that's even worse. And the next one, it's probably going to be even worse. Is that the better one? Can you see that? Yeah? So we all vote for that one? Great. It's interesting that the word prodigal is used, but I used it, I don't know if you noticed the title early on, the prodigal God. And the word prodigal is very interesting because it means riotous, scandalous. It means to squander and to live in excess. But what we're going to see is this. There's another person in the story who's acting in a reckless way, apart from the younger son. And we need to look at that in terms of the father in a moment. Now, in terms of the younger son, and we'll see how Rembrandt painted this picture. It's quite amazing, the detail and what he brings out from the parable into the painting. It's really interesting. In terms of the younger son, it was something that we miss because of the culture that we live in today. We kind of miss so many things from the Bible because we don't understand the culture that it was written in. They've done a study with regards to, they've gone from Morocco to India, from Turkey to Sudan, and they've said, has anyone in your village ever asked for the father's inheritance when they were still alive? And the answer came back 100% never. It has never, ever happened. So you can imagine when Jesus is telling his story, it is quite shocking. And they said it's hurtful and it's in the face of tradition. And they said, what would happen if a younger son asked for his inheritance when the father was still alive? Because what's going on here is this. He was wishing the father was dead. That's what he was doing. And they said, if that happened, what would you do? And this is what they said in the culture of the day. They said this, I would beat him. I would beat him. That was the answer. And it's interesting, we're going to see both sons. They're both interested in the father's things. And they both go about different ways to get it, but they're not interested in the father. And what the younger son was doing is this. He was asking the father to rip out a third of himself and give it to him. And if you've had children, and if you know what it is to parent, you know what it's like to have pieces of you ripped out. And after what happened with Abigail recently, it's as if life can never be the same again. It's funny, really, because we're dealing with a bereavement, because we've lost Abigail, and we've got a different Abigail. And I feel sometimes that there's bits of us missing. And when we parent, the pain is incredible at times. And when you're a child, you don't understand. Now I think, oh my word, why did I do that in relation to my parents? Why did I do that? And so forth. And he was asking for the father to rip out a third of himself. We could go to the cross. We could talk about Jesus on the cross and how the father felt a third of him missing. There's much we could say about that. But this guy, this younger son, when you look at him, when he comes back, he's completely lost his identity. His hair is shaved. And I know this is maybe a bit fanciful, but this is the picture that Rembrandt paints. It's as if he's a convict. It's as if he's come from a concentration camp. Look at his feet. The only thing he's got that reminds him of his sonship is the sword on his side. That's the only thing. And he's gone to get his identity. He's gone to prove who he is. And he's actually lost it. And so often we have to try and prove who we are. We have an identity crisis. Like the young camel, which maybe I've told you about. The problem is my funny stories. My sermons change, but my funny stories stay the same. There was a little baby camel and it's saying to his mother, why is it that I've got these huge eyelashes? Oh, she said, when the sand blows, it keeps it out of your eyes. What about this huge hump on my back? Well, when we go through the desert, she said, you'll need water and that's where you store your water. Okay, getting a bit annoyed now. She said, what about these huge feet I've got? Well, she said, when you walk on the sand, you won't sink into the sand. Okay, one more question. What? How come we're in Bristol Zoo then? You see, we feel we have to prove who we are sometimes. When God says, you're unique, you don't have to go and prove things. And it's a very thing, it's more perhaps for younger people, but we still hold on to things. We still try to prove that we're worth being loved. Jesus in the wilderness, the devil said, come on then, prove who you are. Prove that you're worth being loved. Somebody said, be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And God has made you unique. You don't have to prove anything. And that's what you see in the Father, the good, good Father. He says, you don't have to prove anything. I love you just the way you are. So the prodigal in the story is the father as well. Because the word means unsafe, reckless, scandalous. And you see, what's going on here is totally against culture. Children would run, women would run, young men would run, but not Middle Eastern distinguished patriarchs like this man. But he breaks all the rules. And what I love about this bit is this. We read, he saw him a long way off. I love that. He saw him, son saw the father. And God sees us a long way off. He sees all that we're going through. And he gets a bit reckless when he comes to us. He starts knocking things over. It's almost shameful. It's scandalous. He's the prodigal in the story. And he's running towards his son. He's almost tripping up. He's lifting his skirt and he's almost tripping up. And the son sees him and he starts to rehearse all the bad things about himself. Well, I'm like this and I've done. He's, shh. I've got a different story. Don't retell your story. You don't need to. Shh. He's rehearsing it all. When I get back to my father, I'll say this, I'll say that. And he's saying, Father, and he's, stop it. Stop saying bad things about yourself. God made us good. He's a good, good father, and he makes good people. He says, what about my past? He says, don't worry. Most of you know that we live in Barrie, and Billy Dante, I think, was on the news recently, and he's put millions into the fairground in Barrie. And we were walking through the fairground. I love fairgrounds. I've told you this story before. It's a bit weird. I love ghost trains. When I was a kid, I used to have dreams about putting the lights on and walking round inside the ghost train. Okay, that's a bit weird. Stick with me. God can turn the lights on in your ghost train. And you can see things from a different perspective. But anyway, I think it was Easter time, we were walking around the fairground, and Billy Dante had just been on the news, he was walking up the cowboy, oh, that's Billy Dante. So I went up and I put my arm around him, because I wanted to thank him for how much he'd invested in the town. I put my arm around him and he looked a bit weird, like he was going to call the police. And I said, Billy, I just want to say thank you so much for investing in Barrie and in the fairground. And then he started chatting to me. He said, you know, it was a very interesting thing. It's the hardest fairground I've ever built. He said, because they left all the old rails and roller coasters and everything. They left them all and they just buried them. And before I could build, I had to dig it all up. God wants to build on your life. So don't worry about the past. Billy Dante's got it covered. Don't worry about it. Stop rehearsing your story. God wants to retell your story, whatever the past is. And when you look at the painting, if you look at the arms of the Father. And we've been singing about the arms of the Father. Look how different the arms of the elder son are. We'll come to him in a moment. But the arms of the Father are out open and they're lighter. Everything's lighter about the Father in the centre. But the elder son is distanced to the right. One of his hands is masculine, one is feminine. Because God deals with us in different ways for different reasons, in a masculine way and in a feminine way. And he welcomes him back. And what we aren't very good at sometimes as Christians and as churches is this. When people have messed up, we're too concerned about the roller coaster that's buried underneath rather than moving forward. He's a good, good father. But maybe we'll see a little bit of the elder brother in us today. And that's why Jesus told the story. We often preach about the younger son, but Jesus wanted people to focus on the father and the elder son because he spoke in front of Pharisees. And if we're honest, and we don't always see it, there's a little bit of the Pharisee in our hearts as well. Because the longer we've been Christians, the more or the less we think like people that aren't Christians and we become distant. Both are interested in the Father's things, but they go around different ways to get them. One is very, very bad to get the Father's things. And the other one is being very, very good to get the Father's things. Both are lost. It's the parable of the lost sons. Like Animal Farm, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. All are lost, but some are more lost than others. And the elder brother is more lost, even though he stayed at home, because he can't see his lostness. The younger brother saw his lostness. He can't see his lostness. And he's losing the father. Just as the younger son thought he was losing it, he's losing it in spite of his good, despite of his goodness. And the way he behaves, he's looking down, and we love that, don't we? We're looking down on people that have messed up. And he's looking up to his father as a slave driver. All these years, I've slaved for you. I obey. Why am I losing out? Why do bad things happen to good people? And instead of saying, my esteemed father, he literally says, look you. And just like the father goes out to the younger son, he's going to have to go out to the elder son as well, but for different reasons. Different children, different problems. Different actions. He says this, look how obedient I'm being in my disobedience. I've never disobeyed you, so I've got rights. And we can't handle it sometimes when things go wrong when we've been so right. Live a good life, get a good life. So God owes me. But God is always looking for ways to practice unfairness. Look at the parable of the vineyard when people came right at the end. He's reckless. He's scandalous in his love. He'll knock things over to get you. So maybe you should start getting to him sooner, or otherwise there'll be more damage as he knocks things over in his reckless love for you as he tries to catch you. And he's angry with God's forgiveness. Why is it that I've done all this and I'm losing out and he's being blessed? We can't handle it sometimes. And he's suspicious of everything that's going on. I think I've told you the story before, how often I go on the phone in my car. It's not good, is it? It really isn't good. But I've stopped doing it now, and I'm all set up and I'm hands-free. But if I see somebody else doing it, oh, I'm not happy with that. Because they're getting away with it. And even though I did it, and I'm forgiven, I can't handle it. I really can't. And he's really got issues. He's done everything right. Sometimes we need to repent of the reasons why we do everything so right. And he's suspicious. Where's my party? When I've done all this, why are you like this? Where's my party? Did you know that there's a thing because of social media called FOMO? Did you know that? Good, I'm glad you're all nodding. It's the fear of missing out. If you don't believe me.
FOMO.
That's the English Oxford Dictionary.
FOMO.
There you go. You're looking at me a bit weird now. Fear of missing out. And sometimes we're like that because we've done everything so right and everything's fine. But look at him. His hands are closed, tight, rigid, religious, standing up. Like I used to say to my kids, stand up, okay. But I'm sitting down on the inside. And he's sitting down on the inside, isn't he? He doesn't want to be there. Look at his face. Look how miserable he is. He'll never get a girlfriend. You know, I found out the other day. I wish I'd known this in school. Somebody asked me out in school. Didn't happen very often. One of the nicest girls in the school. Everybody was after her. She spoke to Martin Coffey, who was one of my friends, walking up to the park to play tennis. He said, so-and-so wants to go out with you. I thought, this is great. One of the nicest girls in the school. And he said this. She doesn't think you're that nice looking, but you had a good laugh. Wasn't really happy with that. And there was a bit of tension. I thought, shall I continue with this relationship? I did, obviously. And I found out the other day that Marilyn Monroe said, if you can make a woman laugh, you can make her do anything. I thought, why didn't I know that back then? Like, did you know... Sorry, I'm going off the path. Did you know that when Iceland beat England in the European Cup, this is true, look it up, 9 months later, there was a record number of babies born in Iceland. Yeah? Good to be happy. Get on well with your lady, etc. Sorry, I sound really bad saying that. Take that back. It sounds really chauvinistic. Sorry about that, that's really bad. You know what I mean. Men, I'm just trying to give you a bit of advice, yeah? You know, there are two lost sons in this story. One more lost than another. He was thinking about achievements and performances and everything else. There's lost coins and lost sheep. And God likes to tell stories about coins and sheep, but he's more interested in people. But the question is this. Who should have gone to seek the younger son? Who should have gone? When you go to the Old Testament, there are two brothers. And the elder brother kills the younger one. And this is what he says. When God says, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Oh yes, you are. The elder brother should have gone to find him. And the thing is this, he was worried about his inheritance. He was more worried about the father's things than the father. He said to him, son, all I have is yours. Oh, well, why are you giving it to him then? The ring, the robe, the calf. He should have said, father, I'll go and get him and I'll do it at my expense. What Jesus does is this. He puts in a Pharisee in the story so that we would yearn for an elder brother. Here it is. Next slide, please. There it is. He's our elder brother. Not like the Pharisees. So Jesus puts a Pharisee in so that we would want and yearn for an elder brother to come after us. There it is. Our elder brother. Bringing many sons back, says the Bible. Many sons back. You know, God, when life is unfair, sometimes God can become unfair as well and reckless in the way that he tries to reach us. And he refuses for us to retell our story in the way we want to. He says, I want to tell it in your way. But the elder brother, the father wanted to retell his story, but he would not go in. He would not go into the party. I always used to wonder why Jesus said to people who couldn't walk, do you want to be healed? Interesting question, isn't it? Because sometimes we don't. Sometimes we like the attention. Sometimes we like to wallow in what we've got. Do you want to be healed? There's a road, a village in Pantyffynnon, near Swansea. And for the last 50 years, it's been crumbling. And people have had to move house because of the foundations have gone for whatever reasons. And it's just a desert village now. And there's a road that goes through it. And I was laughing because it said in the news, it's been there for 50 years. There's nobody living there. And it's called the New Road. How ironic is that? You're hanging on to a road. It's not a new road, it's an old road. And it doesn't have to be like this. God can retell your story. Because he's looking for excuses to practice unfairness. Because he's scandalous. And he's knocking things over in his wake to get to you. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to know the Father's love opening his arms to you? Do you want him to tell the story? Beware of the voices. Stop rehearsing your story. Stop playing that tape over again and again and again and again. He says, he's a good, good father. And just to throw it in there, we've got a good elder brother as well. Looking after us. Bringing us home. And everything he has is ours. Let's just pray. Father, we want to be healed. We want a proper new road. And we can see you a long way off. And we want to save part of the journey so that there's less damage on the way. And we run to you this morning. And whatever the past is doing to us, we put it on the altar. And we thank you that we've got a good, good father. And that we've got an elder brother, not a Pharisee, who's going to judge us. And keep putting us down. Lift us this morning, then we pray. And bless us, we ask. Help us not to judge. God, save us from the Pharisee heart, which so often, Lord, if we're honest, when we see people doing bad things, people that should know better maybe, help us to have grace and mercy. Bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.